Famous for their iconic Humboldt fog, inspired by the misty Humboldt County coastline, Cypress Grove has been a cornerstone of American cheese for over 40 years. Their range of fresh, soft-ripened, and aged goat cheeses promises an unforgettable experience. Proudly crafted in Arcata, California, where the redwoods meet the Pacific Ocean, Cypress Grove cheeses are available nationwide at specialty retailers. Discover their cheeses, serving tips, and even order online at cypressgrovecheese.com. Perfect for any occasion or as a gift. There's nothing like that Humboldt fog feeling.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
On the benign side of swimming, which is the technology of swimming, Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College Dublin, has been looking at the science, the evolutionary science of swimwear.
I have, Pat. It's a strange one, isn't it, in a way? Yeah. Swimwear has evolved, is the thing. So in 1924, Pat, in the Paris Olympics, they were made of wool. Can you believe it? Woolen swimwear, which would soak water and sag and all that. Since then, more and more advances have been made. And now, our swimmers are in the pool with effectively spacesuits on them that give them huge advantages.
Okay, so they decided that wool was a bit too shaggy and a bit too absorbent, so they decided on silk, but there was a downside.
They did. In 1912, silk was devised as a way to make a swimsuit, and they began using silk, but then, of course, it's see-through, and that made them a bit nervous, shall we say. And the next result was you had to wear underwear under the silk costume, and that meant more weight. So the silk-underwear combination wasn't seen as optimal either, so that was ditched pretty quickly as well.
So when did the modern swimsuit evolve?
Well, nylon, pal, as you know, nylon gets invented by DuPont. The company DuPont make nylon, and then swimsuits in the sort of 50s begin to be made from nylon. That's much sleeker. It's all about, by the way, resistance in the pool.
Yeah.
And the sleeker your material is, the more you'll glide through the water. And nylon emerges as a great material. Mm. And you know where the name comes from, Pat? Nylon. Do you know where that is? It was invented in New York and London. And they call it NYLON. That's where the name. Isn't that amazing? That's where the name came from. It's a strange one, yeah.
Now, the science, of course, is trying to get people to move through the water faster. And you talk about two competing sets of forces.
Yes. Well, water is denser. It's 700 times denser than air, first of all. And it's 55 times more viscous compared to air. So therefore, it's more difficult to move through, of course. And it's all about drag. You're dragged back. And there's three types of drag. There's pressure on your body. There's friction, because the water has friction. And the third is wave drag. It's like wave is generated ahead of you as you swim. And that pushes you back as well. And the other force, again, it's called thrust. And your muscles, of course, are thrusting.
The swimmer's the thruster.
Yeah, exactly. They're trying to counteract that drag. Yeah. Now, before all these fancy swimsuits, they would shave their bodies, remember, because hair will create more drag, for instance. And the head on your hair, of course, is a big one. Hence the caps, the swimming caps, stop the hair dragging through the water. So that was going on anyway. But then these clever companies realised, if we can make the swimsuits a bit sleeker, we'll counteract this drag, was the idea.
Now, the different kinds of drag, the pressure drag, you illustrate that by asking people to, don't do it now if you're on the motorway. Yeah. Open your car window.
Put your arm out the window, and that pressure against you. That's from the air, of course.
Yeah, your hand at motorway speeds be almost whipped away from you.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's the air coming. Now, in a swimming pool, it's the water creating that much denser water, so the pressure there is quite strong. That's a big one. The second one is this friction, because water, even though it seems very liquid, it has a friction in it, and you're pushing against this friction as well. So the trick is to try to counteract that.
Okay, you wouldn't get much of the wave, I presume, in the pool.
And that varies, Pat, between swimmers. Some make more wave in front of it. Like a boat has a wave in front of it.
The fella in the lane next to you could be generating a wave that inhibits you.
He could, that's right. And in these Olympics, Pat, they reckon that records aren't being broken because it's too shallow. Have you seen this? They reckon the pool is a bit shallow.
It's a temporary pool up in La Défense.
Yeah, and there's physicists examining this now to see if the slightly more shallow water is creating a different dynamic when you're swimming through it. And that may be a reason why we're not seeing really high speeds, they reckon, because the shallowness of the water. That comes into the forces that are acting on the body as well.
Now, I remember recently there were shoes called Vaporflies that Nike developed, and there was some controversy whether or not they were fair. That people who had them would break the records and people who didn't have them would be disadvantaged. Yeah. The same thing kind of happened with swimsuits.
It did. Well, Speedo. Remember that? They're a big company in this business, Speedo. In 2009, they invent a new swimsuit with new material. It's got nylon lycra, by the way. But that was the next big advance. Lycra gets invented in the 50s.
So it was nylon, then lycra.
Lycra, and then a thing called polyurethane. And it was called non-cable or non-fiber polyurethane was stuck in the suit, right? And suddenly records began to be broken. And the following year, the World Championships, 43 swimming records were broken that year. And that seemed mysterious. Now, of course, it could be the dread of drugs. People were suspicious there's something going on here. It was the swimsuit that gave them more buoyancy. So the polyurethane was capturing a bit of air, and they were floating. They were 1% higher in the water, the swimmers, especially the women, because they've got a full body suit on, slightly higher, and that more buoyant. And that means they were swimming faster through the water. So, of course, the swimming authorities, FINA at the time, they banned them because they felt this is giving people an unfair advantage. Although, as you were saying, why can't everybody wear one of those, I guess? But
yeah.
But they decide to ban them anyway.
I mean, it'd be a bit like the tennis authorities saying, I'm sorry, graphite rackets are not allowed. You've got to go back to wood.
Yeah, very similar. Yeah. I think it was, if you're more buoyant, you're not. It's not as hard for you anymore as a swimmer. Mm. They wanted to keep the swimmers working hard, might have been the reason. Mm. But that material then gets banned from the sport.
And still remains banned, but that hasn't stopped the manufacturers from trying to find something else.
They keep making new ones. At the moment, I'm not sure the Irish team has this, by the way, but I've just seen the thing on the current Optimum swimsuit still has some kind of polyurethane in it, because polyurethane is a great hydrophobic material that repels water, you know? And again, that's useful if you're swimming through the water. Less drag if you have polyurethane there. So that's still in the swimsuits. But what got me most of all, Pat, was they're putting a coating on them now. Yeah. That's really sort of anti-friction. And that was discovered to coat satellites in space, to make satellites move without friction through space. That paint or whatever is now being painted on these swimsuits. And again, that might give you a 1% advantage. And a 1% advantage can be massive, remember, in a swimming race. So that kind of thing is happening now as well.
But when you talk about satellites, and I wouldn't have thought there was anything in space.
Isn't it strange? Yeah, for some reason they're putting this paint on these satellites, and it seems
so
to
now
help
they have them on the swimsuits.
On the swimsuits,
and there's no problem with these with the authorities.
At the moment, although you never know. But remember, Pat, when Mona won, it was only 0.01 of a second ahead of the person. That's a hundredth of a second. Can you believe it? You know, now a few years ago that would have been a draw because the technology couldn't have spotted that time difference.
Yeah,
it's a tiny. And if your suit gives you a 0.1% advantage, you might pick up a hundredth of a second. Is the idea here? Yeah, exactly.
It's extraordinary. The question of how far they, you know, what is the fastest you could ever swim 100 meters? What is the fastest you could ever run?
Yeah.
100 metres.
That's right. Well, again, the science is fascinating. So remember in 1924 when Harold Abrams won the gold, remember that movie, Chariots of Fire? Yeah. He wouldn't qualify today with his speeds because he's too slow, you know, because they're getting faster and faster. And it's nutrition partly, it's training, regimens are better. Maybe there's some genetics, people with the right genes are getting involved in these sports. So there's various reasons why we're getting faster.
Yeah. And then the track technology. I mean, if you're running on the old cinder track, talk about resistance.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if you're running on the modern, I don't know whether they still call them tartan tracks, but they give you a bounce in your
stride.
They
do, and you've got fancy running shoes as well. So there's many variables here, isn't there, to explain this increase in speed.
Now, the modern swimsuit, there's something to do with compressing the muscles.
There is, yeah. They're elasticated and they compress muscle, and that decreases friction as well. So they're putting pressure on the muscles. It's like elastic bands are in them, effectively. Yeah. That adds cost to the swimsuit. And, you know, most of these swimsuits, Pat, only last about 10 races because that elastication begins to go out of them. But that's women especially are almost like torpedoes in the water, you know, because they're tightly put into these swimsuits, compressing their muscle. They're slick and then off they go and swim through the pool.
And there seems to be a problem in getting them on and off.
Well, I can't believe this. Some of them take 45 minutes to put on. And I'm not quite sure why it takes so long to put one of these swimsuits on. But they're very tight things, I guess, and they need help. And it takes a bit of time to put them on. And what got me there was there's a psychological bit, Pat, as well. So that they reckon putting these swimsuits on gets you in the zone mentally. You know, you're wearing this high-tech clothing thing, and your brain begins to go, right, I'm ready now. Instead of getting your game face on, you're getting your swimsuit on, and now you're in the right frame of mind. And they think that's part of this, by the way, the psychological impact of wearing something high tech gives you an extra sort of a bonus in terms of psychological performance.
My goodness, I don't know. Where will it all end? I'm thinking of other sports where there might be the possibility for advantage. I mean, the design, for example, of a discus.
Yeah. That kind of thing. Exactly. That's the worry, because then you beat more and more records if you change the thing, I suppose. So they're trying to standardise these things, I think.
All right, Luke, you're watching the Olympics with a scientific interest.
Right.
Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin. Thank you very much for joining us now.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.